Friday, the 13th of March, was not a normal day in the office for me. And not because I'm superstitious.
Oh, what did we decide? Do we want to bring the rifle or not?
That would be a dart rifle, capable of shooting a sedative-filled barb into the flank of a fleeting bear. And the answer is yes.
We've got a dart rifle, which we use if we're not able to get them with a syringe on the end of a chapstick and they run ahead of us. It's kind of a backup.
Forrest Hammond, whose friends call him Frost, is the state's lead bear biologist, and he heads up a team monitoring bear activity in the Searsburg area. It's called the Deerfield Wind Black Bear Study. As a requirement of getting a permit to build a big wind farm, the Spanish company Iberdrola agreed to pay for a study looking at how bears are affected by ridgeline development. Radio collars on several bears in the area track their movements, and the information they reveal may help determine site requirements for future wind projects in Vermont and beyond.
And today, we're actually here to change or check the fit on a young female bear we actually caught in 2013. And last year we went to the den, she was a very young female, and we were very surprised that she actually had one little cub with her. She was one of the youngest females we knew of to have cubs in Vermont. And she's only 4 years old now, and we're very curious on whether or not her cub actually survived the year or not. And if it did, it's denned up with her in the den today.
There are seven of us on this mission today. Four Fish and Wildlife staffers, me, and a father and daughter who are along to observe. 13-year-old Kerrigan DeSorda wants to work for Fish and Wildlife when she grows up, so Hammond invited her and her dad along. We've parked at the top of a dirt road, directly underneath the blades of the wind turbines that are already in place from a previous project. There's no wind, so they're not spinning very fast, but they're still huge and unsettling to stand below. Fish and Wildlife technician Jacqueline Comeau already scoped out the den where this bear and her cub are, so she's going to lead us to it.
This bear is actually the closest one denning to the existing wind farm that's down here. She's about a half a kilometer away. The wind farm stops along the ridge, and the ridge kind of continues, and she's kind of down where the ridge continues and then off to one side. And she is denning in a beech stand, which is kind of the type of forest we're most interested in because of beech nuts, which are an important food source for bears. We're trying to figure out what impact having these turbines here might have on how bears decide to feed in those stands that are close to the wind farms.
The snow's still pretty deep up here on the top of the ridge, so we strap on snowshoes and step into the forest. We're making a lot of noise, but Comeau doesn't seem concerned. She's using radio telemetry and her GPS to try to find the bears. We walk along the ridge and then drop down a steep hillside. A couple hundred meters from where the bears are, we pause so the researchers can load up the syringes they'll use to tranquilize both the mother and her cub.
I think we'll load up and...
Right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is very noisy. They're going to hear us coming.
But this is what it was like the day we scouted. It was even noisier than this. And
she's still there.
She's still there, so...
The good thing is the deeper the snow, the deeper and better they sleep. And so they're not expecting any problems and stuff. And we may very well have to even dig to find the bears.
Comeau takes a couple of small vials out of a toolbox. She and Ryan Smith, a specialist on the team, load the drugs into large syringes. The drugs are a mix of sedatives, similar to what your vet might use if your dog has to go in for surgery. The filled syringes are then attached to long poles called jab sticks. There's a heavier dose for the mother and a lighter one for the yearling. Loaded up, we head closer to the den.
Frost! Frost!
We're probably about 50 meters from where they think the bear is now, so they've gotten everything ready. The syringes are on the ends of the jab sticks. Forrest Hammond is going to go up above where they think the bear is in case she runs up the hill. And everybody else is ready. Here we go.
The team runs over to a dead tree and stops. The GPS says the bear is here, right here. But where?
We know the den is here, but we don't know where the entrance is. And that's what we're going to have to dig to find out.
So Jeff is shoveling and Jackie is taking off her snowshoes. She's on her hands and knees. She's going to dig with a snowshoe.
The tree is about halfway up a very steep hillside. The wind turbines are visible through the trees, and you can hear the whirring of the blades, softly, but definitely audible. It takes some persistence, but they dig a little of the deep snow away from the base of the tree and peer in with a red flashlight. She's in there, and so is the cub.
I see her here. Yep. Ear tag yep. Right here.
He's, I think, on top of it. You want to try digging a little bit more, Jeff?
Just be ready with the chapstick over there, though.
She's hard to reach. The snow is deep, the entrance to the den is small, and it's very dark inside. It's hard to believe any bear could squeeze through the hole, and even harder to imagine two bears curled up inside the hollowed-out tree stump. Jackie Comeau and Ryan Smith are lying down at the entrance, trying to get in position. Smith holds the jab stick. He slides it into the den, trying to spot a good place on the mother bear for the shot.
Just don't see the...
Can you see that ear tag there?
I see the ear tag.
I don't know if you can just get in the base of her neck without hitting.
She just turned her head, I could jab her.
Smith goes in for the shot.
Got some hair.
I don't know that she moved right when I jabbed.
Okay.
Get drug.
Yep.
I don't feel good about that jab. She turned her head.
They wait to see if the mother bear goes down. She doesn't. They get more drug ready. We wait 15 minutes. She's still not down. Smith must have hit her thick fur and not her muscle.
All right, let's drug her again.
Trying to get her attention, they talk to the bear, call her by the name they've given her, Medley.
Right at me.
Hey, Med.
They're lying down on the ground, holding the jab stick. They're both in an awkward position.
I don't know what's the cub and what's her. Is that her right there?
Finally, the bear turns. Comeau slides the jab stick through her fur and into muscle.
You got her. I don't know where you got her, but...
All right, you got another dose ready for the yearling?
Yep.
Then, as they try to prepare a jab for the cub, the mother tries to bolt.
Oh, here she comes. Oh.
Hey,
back in there.
Nope, back in. Back in there.
Her head pops up through the hole in the tree. Comeau and Smith jump up, and they put their snowshoes on the bowl to keep her down. Then they place a coat over the opening, along with a snowshoe, and she stays down. 5 minutes later, she's asleep. But now they have to sedate the cub.
Oh, yeah, that's a little darker. He's standing up on his hind legs. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get him in the rib cage. Mm-hmm. Good, right there.
Get him? Here's some jaw popping going on.
I think so.
This isn't quite textbook this time.
It's taken a couple of hours to get to this point, and now the team wants to move fast. They've got about 45 minutes or an hour before the bears will wake up. In that time, they need to check the weight of both bears and replace the collar on the mother. They also may need to build up a shelter of pine boughs in case they can't get the big sleeping bear back into the tree. They dig with the hatchet to get some of the ice around the den cut out. Then, very quickly, they pull out the cub. They lay him uphill from the den on top of a jacket. He's the size of a medium dog. His fur is a couple of inches thick, but very soft. His black toenails are sharp. His head is wide, with rounded ears on either side of his face, and his face narrows to a point at the tip of the nose.
He's a little fur ball.
He's just a total little poop ball.
He just isn't very large.
They slide a net underneath him and lift, hooking the net to the scale.
It's 37.
37 pounds. On the small side for a yearling, but Comeau says he appears perfectly healthy.
We believe this is her first offspring. She's still kind of learning how to, you know, get enough food to raise young, so first litters tend to be smaller. The first few months to year of life is the big hurdle, and then the next one will be next year, as he's trying to set up his own home range and dealing with other large adult males. But it's a good sign that she was able to get him this far.
Comeau and Smith move on to the mother. She's been dragged just a few feet from the den. They hunker down to check her radio collar. The radio collars are supposed to last 3 years, but they can die in a year, so they replace them before the bear is out of hibernation. Medley's collar has been rubbing a bit, and there's an abrasion on her neck. The specialists say that poses no danger to the bear, but they do want to make the collar a little looser, particularly for the summer when she's putting on weight. They're actually concerned that this bear is as big as she is right now at the end of winter. It likely means she was being fed by a human before she went into hibernation. That's a problem because a bear that gets used to being fed by humans can become a nuisance bear. And nuisance bears scare people, so nuisance bears often get shot. Hammond says there's a neighbor down the mountain who's well known to the biologists.
He was feeding, we warned him, he posted his land, got a lawyer, told us we can't come on his land to see. But all our telemetry points are coming from his house now on her.
She's all when a lot of animals were going south into oak stands. She's one of the ones that never really left the study area, and we think it's because
she was like the only bear that stuck around when there wasn't any food. And she's fat.
Fat is a relative term. Medley turns out to be 125 pounds when they get her hitched up to the scale. Okay, it takes lifting. Four of them to lift her.
One, two.
That's a fairly standard weight for a female bear in Vermont. They usually weigh between 120 and 180 pounds. Male bears here are often about double that. But individual bears' weights fluctuate significantly based on the season, and that can make it really hard to fit a collar. In the summertime, when they're at their plumpest, their necks can be bigger than their heads, and the collars can slide right off, ruining the chances for scientists to study their movements. So they're careful to make Medley's collar loose, but not too loose. By this time, the cub has started to wake up. He's looking around and sticking out his tongue. They carefully nestle him back into the den. The mother's still out and too unwieldy to move, so they collect spruce boughs. They place them underneath her as a little bit of insulation, and then they make a tent above her so it's nice and dark and protected when she wakes up.
All right, let's clean up, guys, and get her stuff and get out of here as soon as we can.
The hope is that Medley will stay right where she is, but it's possible she'll get up and move around after she wakes. She won't go far, though, without her cub, and it's only a matter of weeks before she and the cub will be awake for good and off down the mountain in search of food. As we take a last look around to make sure we haven't left anything behind, Forrest Hammond underscores why studying these bears is important.
What we're trying to find is there a displacement distance from the turbines? Because the turbine's going to take out a portion of that habitat. And the question is, will the bears use all the habitat right up to where it's cleared? Or will it be a buffer distance of, say, 100 meters or a quarter mile or a half mile to where the bears use that less than what's available to them? And by following these bears' movements and behavior, we'll get an idea on whether or not there's a displacement from these turbines.
Iberdrola's wind turbines aren't built yet. The turbines that are here now, owned by Green Mountain Power, are much fewer and much smaller. Hammond hopes the bear study can get the funding to continue as the new turbines are built, so the team can get a true read on how bears are affected by a project this large. That won't help these bears if it turns out the wind project is detrimental.
That's true. What we're going to be learning is what the behavior changes are, movement changes, and we'll learn from that to know how to better site the future projects in the state. There's already projects that are proposed that we know will affect some bear habitat. Even the new proposed Stiles Brook project just to the north of here, just from the measurements on the Met Towers, we know there's some beach stands that would be involved with that and stuff as well. So maybe we'll have knowledge of this by the time that goes. It'll help the siting of that project.
It's late afternoon. Time to leave the bears in peace and trudge back up the mountain. Under the spruce canopy, Medley is still dozing. Inside the den in the hollowed-out tree, her cub is resting quietly, blinking in the dark, waiting for spring. For VPR News, I'm Jane Lindholm.